Hi, this is DCD, and I know that the story will change again as I try to finish it. But this is a reading from Dragon in the Post by David Clement Davis. Chapter 1. There was a brilliant fire in the London evening that burned outside the oily kitchen window like a growing ribbon of blood-red light, cupped with bruising purple clouds and smoking over the great tower on that building Garrett's dad always told him was called Parliament. Where all those funny people met, MPs or PMs or something, to talk and fight and do whatever they do. It rose there with its boldly waving flag, the Union Jack, and its funny pointy turrets. To Gareth Marks, gazing sadly through the grimy little window, it looked almost medieval, like that dumb book he'd seen on Camelot and King Arthur. Although this was modern London, for sure. Gareth Marks knew it from the screaming police sirens he could hear screeching and wailing through the London streets again right now, as if there had just been another horrible terrorist attack. There seems so much fear about nowadays. All over the world, in fact. Gareth suddenly felt himself filling up with feeling, standing in front of that great and brilliant sunset like a tumbler of water overflowing, and as he thought of the horrid shouting match between his mum and stepdad again, yet another vicious row, he wanted to cry. Why do stupid adults have to talk to one another like that? Don't they know how it makes you feel? 12-year-old boys don't cry, though, do they? So instead, Gareth Marks bit his bottom lip to stop himself shouting or swearing and started bashing hard on the kitchen worktop with a lump of muck-brown modelling clay that had long dried out. His silly art teacher had insisted on his taking it home from school. Gareth didn't want to model anything, though. That was stupid. He wanted to break something now for all the hurt and loneliness he was feeling inside. He felt like a prisoner in this dark, mean little flat where he lived with his mum. Now his stupid stepdad had just moved out. With its one pokey bedroom, but a pull-down bed for him in the main room where he usually slept in a sleeping bag. He never told his friends at school about it. What friends he had, that is, because Gareth Marks had only just started at the local comprehensive, and it felt like a whole new world. Gareth's mum wasn't in now, of course. Always out to work, his poor mum. But Gareth's holidays had just begun, if with the blocked, sinking, almost exhausting feeling that this would be as boring and lonely as all the others. His best friend, Mac, was going away on a school trip, which Gareth's mum had no money for, and it was too rough around here for Gareth to be let off the leash too easily. For fear of those other kids on the block, the kind that carry knives or smoke cigarettes, the morons, or do things like drugs. Meanwhile, his football had a puncture, the internet was down again with that ancient modem, and his mum wouldn't let him have a mobile. She was old-fashioned like that. What was Gareth going to do now, then, for 2 whole months? Above all, Gareth Marks knew that although he had wished with all his heart that his dad might visit them suddenly and soon, it was not going to happen. Not that kind of magic. Gareth and his mum hadn't seen his dad in 3 whole years, not least because he and his stupid stepfather so disliked each other. Well, his stepdad was off again, thank heavens, after the horrid bust-up yesterday on some secret army thing or other. At least if dad did turn up, there wouldn't be a fight or any horrid feelings floating around. It hadn't stopped mum breaking down again, though, into floods of tears again. He hated it when she cried, but she was always cracking up these days. Gareth felt something heavy in his stomach now he couldn't understand. He missed his dad so much, his real dad, but hardly remembered him sometimes, except for the picture in his back pocket. If he told the truth, sometimes Gareth Marks almost hated him too for ever going away and leaving them like that. The tall, flaxen-haired 12-year-old thumped hard again with the clay as the doorbell rang, a muted chatter, since the metal cover didn't even fit and there was no one about to fix it. No man about the place. It must be a very special delivery at this time of the evening, though, thought Gareth. And when he answered it, there was a thin, sallow-looking guy outside in a grey UPS uniform with one of those automatic signature things with their electronic pens. They eyed each other warily, but Gareth signed with a lazy scrawl and a shrug and took the large, well-sealed box. He closed the door with a rather resentful cheers, embarrassed to have been interrupted, looking so hurt and sensitive. Back at the kitchen counter, the enormous sunset was flaming even more, turning darker and darker and threatening to pull the city into the deepest night, as Gareth tried to get a clue who it was from. He got the answer immediately, though, from the sender label on the side, which said, Curly Tail Press. There was a note, too, to his mum. Jackie Marks, those eggs you wanted from the farm, Jackie, it said. Handle with care. Gareth smiled immediately, although the parcel wasn't for him. His wild-haired godfather, Pendelian Pumphrey, had sent them. And Gareth Marks liked Pendelian a lot. Pendelian was his father's mate originally from as far back as school, an age ago, who ran a little publisher in the country, as well as a small farm, that Gareth Marks always loved visiting, when he and his mum got the odd chance, that is. He wasn't sure he liked the country so much, with all that muck and open space, but Pendelian always gave Gareth the strangest leaving presents. Rare glass bottles, hand-engraved bookmarks, carved miniature elephants, and once, a ship in a bottle, he told him had been made by real prisoners. But more than presents, Pendelian, who his stepdad hated and called a bloody nutter, always gave him his time and interest too, and the warmth of his clever smile. But eggs? Gareth was sure it couldn't be ordinary eggs, not in the post. He grabbed a little knife from the kitchen block and sliced through the tape and cardboard. Inside was a mound of crepe paper and plastic bubble wrap, and inside that nothing but an ordinary supermarket-style egg box. Class A and organic, admittedly, but an egg box, all right, for half a dozen eggs, although with a slight bulge in the top. Gareth lifted the eggs out very carefully, wondering why they hadn't smashed, placed the box on the counter by the clay and opened the lid. Gareth Marks's disappointment couldn't have been greater if someone had phoned to say the holidays were cancelled forever, or he would have to stay in school for life. Not lovely chocolates, not gold-covered duck eggs from some royal-crested culinary emporium, just plain supermarket-style chicken eggs, and one with a mouldy feather still stuck on the top. Gareth fumbled in the UPS box now, but all he found was a note, although oddly this was to him. "Tell your mum to make an omelette, Gareth, and break a few. They're really delicious. Sorry I missed your birthday. I was going to ask you to a boys' camp I'm doing out down here, but things are a bit hectic right now. Perhaps another time then. Your godfather, P." Gareth sighed and wondered about this boys' camp. He had heard of the training weekends before, and it all sounded a bit heavy, although his stepfather wanted him to go to toughen him up. Besides, Gareth would no doubt get into a fight, which he often did at school. It was why some of the idiots muttered he had special needs, or even said he had something called Tourette's. Words about missing his birthday just made Gareth Marks more sullen, though, and made him think again, not of presents, but his dad. 3 whole birthdays he had missed now. 3. Gareth suddenly grabbed the lump of clay again and started banging even harder. Blast and damn him, his stupid father. Thump, thump, thump. Damn, damn, damn. Through the window, the whole sky was glowing with fire now, and Gareth suddenly felt horribly alone. Horribly angry, too. It was at that moment that some little gremlin seemed to wake inside him. Gareth noticed one of the eggs was outsides and slightly bluer than the rest, leaning off to one side, tilting stupidly, and the 12-year-old suddenly took a vicious swipe at the thing. Thwack! Gareth Marks felt the pain shoot straight up his arm as if it hit pure concrete, and he was amazed as the hard block of moulding clay snapped in two. He had expected a delicious defeated crunch and a wonderful explosion of yellow gloop, but the large egg was perfectly undamaged, although now it had been knocked neatly upright. Perhaps it was a hard-boiled egg, he thought, that his nutty godfather had put in by mistake. But no one was making an omelette with this. Gareth was going to try smashing another one when suddenly, before his startled eyes, the large blue egg twitched. Then it wobbled violently and a crack went running right down the centre. Gareth almost jumped out of his skin as something sharp and pointy suddenly pushed out of the shell. Gareth was going to hit it again as the crack spread everywhere now, and with a kind of gruff chirrup, a little head came out suddenly. The chick that had arrived through the post had a beak all right, but Gareth's fascination and vague fear, too, was compounded by the fact the little bird-like head was perfectly blue and looking boldly up at him. What really astonished Gareth, though, was the size of its huge eyes and the fact they were glowing bright red, just like the fiery sunset outside the window. Gareth Marks could have fallen over. When the thing seemed to burp, a little puff of black grey smoke came out of its beak, and then, as if it were swelling, it shrugged off its casing in a shower of breaking shell and stood up boldly in the brown egg box and the remains of its broken home. The little creature raised its beak as if to sing, and uncurling a pair of tiny blue leathery wings, only slightly sticky with a glistening slime, it unfurled a minute club-ended tail too that waved about like flag on the House of Commons. In a Class A, organic egg box, Gareth Marks was suddenly looking down at a real live dragon in the post. Gareth Marks stepped back in total astonishment. A baby dragon in an egg box right here in London in 2014. It was impossible, and yet something about the note from his strange godfather made him believe it immediately. Besides, the boy was looking down at the little thing, right here in his kitchen, peering back up at him. Gareth suddenly saw flecks of flickering red light, like electricity, ripple across its tiny veined wings, or under the blue skin itself, and as it tilted its little head and looked up at the boy, he had the strangest sensation that it was a girl dragon. It was something about the length of the long eyelashes, which, on stone-like lids and around those large, searching eyes, were blinking back at him. Gareth's mouth dropped open, and he wanted to say something stupid like, who, or why, or what, but then the dragon gave a kind of hiccup, and a mix of steam and sparks came out of its mouth, then vanished again. It looked even more coy, curled in its club tail, then it opened its wings as if to take off. But the little dragon didn't take off. Instead, it just stood there foolishly among the bits of broken neck, dragon shell, looking rather embarrassed, not to mention completely helpless. Something strange suddenly came over Gareth Marks. He had always longed for a pet of his own, like a hamster, rabbit, even a dog, but the pokey flat was far too small and his mum didn't like dogs. But a dragon? Gareth felt oddly paternal, even at his age, and he wanted to pick it up in his palm or wrap it carefully in some kitchen roll or something, as it seemed to shiver at a gust of cool air from a chink of open window. What on earth do you do with baby dragons that suddenly arrive in the post in a Class A egg box? Feed it, that's what. Still hardly able to believe his eyes, the boy wondered if dragons drink saucers of milk, as, very carefully, he reached out with his forefinger, and, hardly daring to touch the delicate blue creature, wondering if it would bite him, he started to stroke its little head. At first it ducked, stretching out its wings indignantly, but then some recognition seemed to come into its large, filmy eyes, which had now turned a misty brown, and it let him, nuzzling his finger back with the top of its head. It was the strangest feeling against Gareth's forefinger, like stroking wet sand on the beach. But the creature seemed almost to purr, and its leathery tail uncurled happily. Gareth Mark's heart could have melted, but now he noticed that his mum had left a pack of rice on the counter and some of the grains had spilled out around the sides. Do baby dragons like rice? It was long grain rice, stuff his mum was always saying was good for you or something equally annoying. The boy picked up one of the grains between a thumb and forefinger, and very gingerly he proffered it to the little beak on the end of the dragon, standing there in the egg box. The dragon chick tilted its head, closed its rather large eyes, and opening its mouth, a green tongue came out that seemed to stick to the food and pull it back sharply, like one of those tree frogs catching flies. It flicked its beak upwards, then most definitely swallowed the grain, and opening its eyes again seemed pleased too, when something extraordinary happened. The dragon shivered violently, and as Gareth blinked, the creature seemed to grow visibly, right there before his eyes, to swell and almost double in size. Not only that, but it lifted its wings and took to the air, then hovered there like a hummingbird, right at eye level in front of Gareth Marks's nose. It was hardly moving its wings, though, floating there in parallel with that flag waving in the distance through the dirty kitchen window, wrapped in that fading sunset of darkening red clouds. Gareth felt a strange longing now, a deep ache. When the little creature swung its head and let out a tiny jet of fire, like the flame on his stepdad's army cigarette lighter. This time, though, it wasn't weak or mixed with smoke, it was clear and strong, a tiny fire jet. That might have been extraordinary enough in his own kitchen, if the flame itself, separated now from the floating beak, hadn't hung there, then swirled in a vortex, like water going down a plug hole, then seemed to open a little window, right there in front of the real kitchen window. The hole in the air grew like a tear in a painting or the mouth of an opening cave in some restless dream, and suddenly Gareth was not looking at that funny medieval building, Parliament, or the modern London skyline either. Just for a moment, it was as if his thoughts were travelling out at speed, as if he was flying through that vortex to meet what he saw now somewhere far beyond, yet nowhere at all, to see sweeping, rich green pastures, a great curling forest in the distance, dark with giant, tangled trees, but another impossible creature too, breaking from the wood and racing straight towards him as if in flight, wild and white, bucking its clearly frightened head. Gareth blinked hard at the horse that seemed to be running in terror, but it was still there, and he most definitely caught the flash of a twisting horn right in the middle of its bucking forehead. But now there was almost a terrified squawk, if dragons can squawk. The fire window closed in a puff of smoke, the vision vanished, and the little dragon fell out of the air, straight back into the egg box. Plop! Broke one of the other eggs in a tiny spurt of yellow egg yolk, and it gave a defeated chirp, too, as it slapped its tail against the cardboard and bowed its head sadly. Gareth Marks could have laughed out loud, if he hadn't wondered what he had just seen, and suddenly heard the rattle of keys outside the front door, too, then his mum's tired voice, "Hi! Home, love!" Gareth had to think like lightning. Hide the dragon. But where? In an instant his eyes flashed right around the kitchen, took in the three big storage jars on the shelf, and slipping his hand under the little creature, Gareth scooped it up as carefully as he could. There it was, right in the palm of his hand, as big as his palm in fact, wings and tail and scaly egg-covered back, while Gareth could feel the imprint of its bird-like feet as it stood upright and the front door began to open behind him. Suddenly Gareth looked up and read the legends on the jars. Coffee, sugar, cereal, rice. Something told him not to go for the last, so reaching out, he snatched the lid off the coffee jar and, almost apologetically, popped his dragon inside. He heard a tiny muffled moan as it fell into the coffee granules. Smoke came out and he snapped the lid back on, tight shut. "Hi, love. Sorry I'm home so late. Have you had any..." Gareth's cheeks were blazing now as he swung to face his mum, and as he did so, his right hand reached out and clipped the egg box accidentally on purpose, and the whole lot came flying off the counter. The eggs upturned, and there was a horrible crunch as they landed at his feet, and Gareth let out a forced blast! Jackie Marks stood there inquiringly. She was in her nurse's uniform, had a work bag slung over her arm, and looked as exhausted as ever. Love, what's wrong? Did I startle you? I'm sorry. Already Gareth was apologising as he bent down with her. No problem, Mum, talking of eggs from his godfather's farm, sudden UPS deliveries and making omelettes for their supper. Your godfather, said his mum warily as she watched him. What is that funny man playing at now? Playing at, Mum, sighed Gareth, scooping up some of the shelves and gloop, hiding the dragon bits among the other pieces as he stood again and grinned innocently at her. He put the box and its broken contents to one side, but held two unbroken eggs in his left hand, save from the six. He felt daft. Yeah, love. Pendelian sent something to the hospital too, addressed to you. My staff nurse has been eyeing it up jealously all day. For your birthday. I think it's a book. Oh, said Gareth, his face as red as the dying sunset, balancing the two remaining hen's eggs on the counter by the messy box now and trying to look interested, or not so incredibly guilty. Don't you want to see? Asked his mum. She pulled something out of her bag and held it out. It was another UPS package. Sure, answered Gareth, wiping his hands on his trousers and blushing even deeper. I'm whacked, said Jackie as he took it. I'll have a bath quickly, then make some supper. Cheese omelettes, if you like. Clean up for me, though, love, and make some coffee. There's a saint. How nice of Pendelian. His mum looked at her son rather suspiciously, smiled, and turned to go into her room. The boy swung his head back to the coffee jar immediately, but all seemed quiet and peaceful. Just four white porcelain jars there in a row. So he looked down at what was obviously a large book, heavy to hold. You can always tell what's in a present, but it was quite a day for surprises already. The note scrawled under the address label to St. Thomas's said, Happy birthday, Gareth. Better late than never. Hope with this you might see the universe in a grain of rice. Pendelian. Gareth tore at the wrapping now as he heard his mum beginning to run her bath, and when he pulled it out, the 12-year-old was as delighted and amazed as if he had just seen some mythical flying creature in his own kitchen, then hidden it in a coffee jar, which of course he had. It was the size of one of those fancy coffee table books, but bound in old leather, edged with delicate green felt all around the borders, and the title scored in large gothic gold on the front read, The Very Dangerous Book of Dragons and Universal Dragon Lore by Pendelian Pumphrey. Gareth Marks sat down immediately on the battered little sofa in the London flat with the huge book on his lap. The Very Dangerous Book. The 12-year-old shivered slightly, and very slowly he opened the cover. The boy thought he heard something move in the kitchen, but as for the book, nothing jumped out at him, except the beautiful style of the thing and its curling gilt lettering. On the frontage page, Gareth Marks was looking down at the chapter headings now. 1. A universal history of dragons since the dawn of space-time to before. 2. Dragon lore to dragon wars, a tragic tale. 3. Why dragon spells danger without an E. 4. Fire cutting, the way through to Blistag and the dark wood. Dragons be here. 5. Beasts of the sacred realm, from homunculi to humans, or at least miraculous ones. 6. Dragon naming, a sensitive psychic's guide. 7. Feeding your dragon, the dangerous do's and don'ts. Feeding your dragon? Gareth noticed it immediately and looked at the page number, then began to flick hurriedly towards the relevant section. It was a sumptuous tome, like an old-world children's fairy tale book, filled with rich and colourful pictures of dragons of all shapes and sizes, many rather elegant, some quite terrifying, others looking decidedly evil. The boy saw other creatures there too, amazing mythical beasts Gareth could hardly remember the names of, griffin and chimera and basilisk, so many which did strange things to his thoughts. There were pictures of odd-looking people in the weirdest-looking clothes as well. He vaguely heard his mum in the bathroom now, and his eyes hovered over the pictures for ages, but at last Gareth came to a page that looked like one of his mum's recipe books. Dragon feeding, the dangerous do's and don'ts. Just like people, dragon diets have changed over the centuries, and while modern dragons have developed many bad habits, sometimes too horrible to mention, it's all a question of educating yourself, and your dragon, if you can, to the most nutritious and balanced diet available. That's, of course, if you ever have a dragon, which is impossible, since dragons only exist in the sacred realm. Just as ordinary humans cannot live in their world, and could never travel there anyway, without a firecutter. Firecutters are exceptionally rare, and exceptionally dangerous too. But, for imagination's sake, intending to any dragon or trying to, always remember that the joy of food is the joy of creativity. Put some love into it then, some flair, some generosity, and above all have some fun. Incidentally, celebrity dragon chefs may be on the rise, but they probably know little more than you do, even three-tailed ones, and are always horrible to their staff. Gareth settled back in the sofa, noticing the stone statue of a dancer his dad had carved standing on the carpet at the sofa's edge, and felt a strange tingling feeling as if he was being spoken to by a friend. He thought of his father again now as he heard his mum climbing out of the bathtub. She had turned on the radio to a noisy London music station, but there was suddenly a sharp thump on the wall. Boy, shut it! It was Mr. Coombs, a loner and the local busybody too, who was always complaining about noise. He read on. Young dragons are especially fond of buttersqueak, porgon's liver and wordwort, which I'm afraid is unavailable at Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Asda, or indeed any major British supermarket chain, world-gobbling dinosaurs that they are. Possible equivalents in this realm are the Ecuadorian desert cactus, armadillo's tail, or a very rare blue Japanese jellyfish, but they're nigh impossible to find too, and probably illegal. Don't despair. Dragons can be very fussy eaters, especially the little ones. Yet care is important, and with thought and lovely presentation too, you can entice them with things undiscovered, even by Pendelian Pumphrey. The key is trust and experimentation, since all life is an experiment. The author, though, has known them eat rocket salad, pistachio nuts, blue cheese, pretzels, raw rabbit, beurre fond crouton after dinner mince. When feeding dragons, always be careful they don't eat you, and that's often a question of size, see sugar. The second biggest don't, however, especially to a newly hatched dragon, is of course never feeding it long-grained rice. Rice! Gareth suddenly felt sick, although he could hardly believe there was any reality to these strange instructions, as he thought of what had really happened in the kitchen, when he had given the dragon chick just that, rice. A long grain of rice, Pendelian had said something about seeing the universe in. Good book, love! Gareth jumped violently as his mum came back into the sitting room, drying her wet red hair on a towel. She was out of her nurse's uniform in jeans and a sweater now and smiled warmly at him, wondering sadly what he was going to get up to this holidays. Yeah, Mum, I suppose. So nice of Pendelian to remember. And thanks for making the coffee, love. It smells yummy. But weirdo Coombs is complaining again. Coffee? What coffee? Gareth could smell it too, filling the room, the rich burnt aroma that always wafted from the coffee maker when it was ready on the gas ring. The problem was, Gareth had forgotten to put any coffee on at all. So what was cooking now? Oh no! If you enjoyed the beginning of this fantasy and want to help me finish writing it and turn it into a real book too, not an e-book, sent to you in the post, then why not support the crowdfunding project at indiegogo.com under Dragon in the Post. Many thanks.